happy and good to be in the house of the Lord today?
Amen.
Amen. Good. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. How many of you are tired of looking at the news? But how many of you are still looking at the good news? Yeah? Amen. We're going to be in the book of Acts this morning. I want to hit in Acts chapter 28, but I want to dive into 27 for just to catch us up a little bit. How many of y'all tried to share the gospel and you thought somebody was going to come to the Lord and they didn't? It was like, oh. King Agrippa said, you almost persuaded me. You almost got me, Paul. You almost became a believer. And then you had to leave that and get on a ship. Because he's going to go to Rome. God is sending him to Rome, and he is a prisoner heading to Rome. But he tells the people, he tells the captain, hey, listen, there's something is going to happen. We need to probably hold on for a minute. Some stuff is going to happen. Not going to be good. Big storm, all that. But the world doesn't listen to believers too much. Did you know that? The world doesn't listen to believers. We're going to find out later that the captain starts listening. Because here's what happens when something really bad happens in the world. When 9/11 happened, most churches were full. This church stayed the same. But most churches were full. Because even though there are a lot of people out there that do not worship God, they know something about God. Or they've been to church when they were a child, or they came to a VBS a couple of times as a child, and they remember a little bit about God, a little bit about Jesus, and the world knew that in that moment, maybe I need to see who God is. Maybe I need to go. There is a hope. A gentle wind begins to start to arise once they get on the ship, and it becomes a big storm, a very big storm. They begin to throw out the gear and all the, pretty much a lot of things that they just threw a lot of stuff overboard. You know, sometimes when you get into the storms of life, you need to throw something overboard too. But I want to read verse 20. He says, for many days, neither the sun nor stars appeared. And the severe storm kept raging. And finally, all hope that we would be saved was disappearing. Isn't that what it feels like when everything around us comes crashing down and we feel like all hope is abandoned and all hope is disappearing? You see, there's no place to go when you're in a boat. And you're in a storm, there is no place to go. Sometimes God puts us in, allows us to be in places that are kind of containment, contained like that so we don't run. He'll find you even on a boat. Read the old prophet Jonah. You'll find you cannot sail away from God. However, they were out there for 14 nights. In a great storm. They're dropping anchor. And they're praying for daylight to come. Basically, they're praying for hope. Can I ask you, Chelsea, has there been moments where you prayed for hope? You were praying, not sure what was going to happen. Some of the sailors wanted to abandon. Some of the soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners. But the Roman captain wouldn't allow it. Because he's been talking with Paul. I want to read something here out of 27 also. It says, after these things and had taken they had taken some bread, and he gave thanks to God in the presence of all of them. What I love about this is Paul now being a prisoner. Now he's not in charge as the captain, but we see his leadership abilities rise up. God has given him leadership abilities, the spiritual gift of strong leadership, and he begins to break bread. A lot of them don't even know what breaking bread is, and they're sitting, and he's doing this in front of everyone. It's funny, when people get in trouble, they will begin to listen to God's people. If God's people is loving them, we'll get to that. But he said, they all became encouraged and took some for themselves. And all there were 276 of us on the ship. And when they have eaten enough, they began to lighten the ship by throwing over the grain overboard into the sea. And we see that the ship hits some rocks, ships fall apart, they see this island, and they end up swimming, jumping on some debris of the ship, and then we pick it up in chapter 28, verse 1. Once ashore. Now, I want to tell you, when they seen that island that they didn't really know much of, they see that island, that they get there, they are once ashore. What a breathtaking peace you would think that would be, but the storm is still happening. It's still raining, but their ship is destroyed. They're pretty much kind of shipwrecked. Then we feel like our life gets shipwrecked sometimes. It gets shipwrecked. But I'll remind you that the same God that is there when you take off on the ship, that is there when you're on the ship, he's there also after you get off the ship. And so they come ashore, and we then learn that the island was called Malta. Not a lot of messages are coming that we preach out of chapter 28. We'd love to preach out of 27, but not a lot out of 28. But today we're going to tackle 28. And he says, so they landed on this island called Malta, which is, it translates, just means like honey. Okay, so honey sweet. The local people showed us extraordinary kindness. That blows me away. Here you have Roman soldiers, you have all of them coming off, 276 people coming on there, coming onto this island. And what we see is these people, they showed them kindness, but extraordinary kindness. Let me ask you, these are non-believers. They believe in the little g gods. When's the last time you showed kindness to someone you didn't know? How about extraordinary kindness? Because today, even after COVID, we become isolated. Everybody wants to stay home. Then I wonder, what happened to the spiritual gift of hospitality? We'll get to that one too. However, you know what? The house that I have, the houses that I've had, they've never been mine. Because I know who gave it to me. Whether when I rented or whether when I bought to own. They are not mine. My house is always open. Someone can come to my door and I'll let them in. Because I love people. I know what I have is not mine. These people on this island are allowing 276 strangers to come on this island. They could have been there with their weapons. As soon as they came up, they could have wanted to attack them. But I also want to remind you, God said Paul was going to Rome. Paul is going to go to Rome. But there could have been a battle there, and yet Paul could have been wounded, and then Paul could have ended up going to Rome later. God could have done it any other way, but he saved those 276 people on the boat. They all come ashore, and then they learned that this island was called Malta. They learned. They didn't know it. They learned it. Where are we? Malta. And the local people showed extraordinary kindness, for they lit a fire and took all in, since it was raining and cold. So they turned around and they were just giving hospitality, taking care of these people, building up these fires. But something happens. As Paul gathered, now I want to say, as Paul gathered a bundle of brushwood. Here we find out that Paul has been out on this thing for 14 nights. Out there on this crazy storm where they didn't see the sun. The sun's still not shining. He's out there. Then they swim, and now they come to this part. They're putting logs, this brushwood, on to make a fire. Paul is not sitting there waiting for all this, the people that are local people, to do the work. He gets out there and works too. Be careful you let everybody else do your work. Join in. It feels good to do a little work. Don't just be a receiver. But Paul, he gathers some wood. He's just not sitting. He's doing something. He put on the fire and a viper. That's a snake with the teeth. This viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself to his hand. So we have a snake that jumps in, and it's always this saying that I have all the time. It's like Satan is always lingering in the shadows. If you don't see him today, he's always hanging in the shadows. Here we see a direct attack on Paul, pretty much to kill him. Let's see. When the local people saw the creatures hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "This man probably a murderer, though he had escaped the sea." So they've already made a judgment. This bad thing happened to him because he must have done something wrong. Everybody else is picking up wood. Why'd that viper hit up on Paul? There's always attacks on the men and women who serve God. But what we see here is the word justice. It's capitalized, justice. And so it says, he escaped the sea, comma, justice does not allow him to live. So justice is not just as what you're kind of thinking it is, but it's not all what you're kind of thinking. Justice is actually a name for a word called D-I-K-E, Dike, which is a god, the goddess of justice is what they believed in. So they believe that a god, a goddess, gave judgment, pronouncing that this man must have been guilty. But they expected that he would swell up or suddenly drop dead. But they waited a long time. They're all watching and saw nothing unusual happen to him. And they changed their minds and said he was a god. This tells you about these local people. They worship things. They worship the small g's, not God, but the small g's. And they thought, wow, he survived that. So this is what it tells us. That they knew what kind of viper this was. This is a viper. You get bit by it. It's hanging on his hand. He gets it. He shakes it. He gets it off. This man is going to die. This is a poisonous viper. So they said, oh, he didn't die. He's got to be a god. But now a ministry starts to take place. God opens doors in ways we don't understand. Just take a few hours before that. They were just coming out of the ocean. And they got ashore. Everything is changing. He says, now, in the area around the place was an estate belonging to the leading man of the island. Now listen, you get these kind of things, you're going to end up meeting the leader, I'm sure, named Publius, who welcomed us and entertained us hospitality for 3 days. This is where it just really gets me here. We see people, now they would call these people barbarians. Anybody that was Greek, that was not Greek, they called barbarians. So here we find, I look at this, and here's what I see. I see, they call these people barbarians, people of Malta. Here we find these people giving great hospitality to people that they don't know, to strangers who look like maybe invaders. They're welcomed and they entertained us hospitality for 3 days. How many of y'all have people come in your house and you're ready for them to go 5 minutes before they came in your house? How many of y'all look at the ones that walk in there with their shoes? Because we are not Oriental people. So how many of y'all, but we love our stuff. How many of y'all want people to take your shoes off when you come to the door? How many of y'all people look and see where people sit on your couch and then you want to clean the couch after they leave? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But what I'm saying is you get wrapped up into things that you shouldn't be getting wrapped up into. Because really, when you're thinking, is the dirtiest person just came in my house? Well, really, truthfully, the dirtiest thing is your heart. What I'm learning, even what I was learning through this, is I'm seeing a hospitality and the things that God's people struggle doing today, these barbarian people were doing it in a great way. When's the last time you invited someone to your home besides your own kids? When's the last time you opened the door? When's the last time? Because God didn't give you your home just for you. God didn't just give all that you have just for yourself. For 3 days, they were entertained with hospitality. They had nothing. Remember, they had nothing coming up. They had everything in the beginning of this departure. But this departure cost them everything. The only thing they had was themselves. And so now they're on an island that people they don't know, they find out that it's called Malta, with people that are barbarians. And they end up acting more godly than Christians do today. But they don't know about God, but they're going to hear it from Paul. Paul's going to share the gospel. But here's what we find out. They're entertained for 3 days. But Publius, his father, was in bed suffering from fever and dysentery. Let me tell you, God will open doors for you to share the gospel, and he will open doors for you to do ministry. Because the lost is always hurting. The lost never stops hurting. Christians, we hurt. But when we hurt, we still can have a peace. There can be a joy that's still even in the hurting, knowing that I know that what I'm going through is not good and I don't like it, but I know that I'm in the hands of God. Amen. But the lost doesn't have that. They have none of that. Here we find... We find Paul landing on an island that's going to hear the gospel. And it doesn't get all into that, but we know the traits of Paul, the character of Paul. He's going to share the gospel. But what the scripture tells us, the more important part of it, I guess, is to see that the hospitality of the barbarian people is stronger than those that are Christians that should know better. And there's a spiritual gift of hospitality. That means those who have the spiritual gift of hospitality should even do it better than everybody else, because they can't help but do it, because God instilled it in their hearts. Can't help it. I love people. But he's suffering in bed. He's sick with fever, dysentery. He's a mess. But what does Paul do? Paul went to him and praying. God opened the door, took a mess from this whole storm, allowed it to happen. God was there wanting and allowing Paul to do some work on an island. It wasn't on the schedule. We're going from here to Rome. It wasn't on the schedule. Let me just tell you, when you do ministry, there's a lot of things that are not on the schedule. And the stuff that's not on the schedule, that's a lot of times, that's exactly what God wants to do. The stuff that's not on the schedule. And it wasn't on the schedule. But the man is sick. And Paul went to him. Isn't that what we ought to do, people that are sick? People that are hurting? When I was sick, when I'm sick, you know what? Now I'm really sick. I broke my hip. Who was I calling? I was calling men of God. Some people would say, I'm praying. I appreciate all prayers. When you're sick, you appreciate the prayers. But isn't there those few people that you want them to pray? When they say they're going to pray, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are going to pray, because you know their character. They're not just going to say it in words. They're going to do it. And we see through Scripture, when Paul prays, man, things happen. But when Jesus prayed, things happened. When Peter prayed, things happened. Let me ask you this. When you pray, do things happen? I hope that they do, because God is serious about prayer. And I hope you are serious about prayer as well. Not just for yourself, but for those that are lost. You see, what we want to do is we want to go in there. We want to beat Jesus over the head with him. You got to get saved. You got to get saved. Listen, if someone's sick, they don't want. When someone's sick, you pray for them. Pray that God will give you that opportunity to share the gospel. But there's a need that needs to be done right now. And you pray over that need that needs to be met. And he's praying over that. And he lays his hands on him. There's nothing wrong with laying your hands on a lost person. If they allow you to pray for them, put your hands on a lost person. And he prays on him. And what happens? He heals him. He is healed. The Lord heals through Paul. He heals him. He is healed. If the ship didn't wreck, this guy is not going to be healed. The gods that they were praying to was not God. But God showed up. You really go through Scripture and you'll see how these pockets of where God shows up in lost people's lives all over the place. All over the place. It shows you that John 3:16 really is so awesome and powerful. For God so loved the world. He is finding lost people all over the place that are sick, lost, messed up, in addictions, in jail, in prison, in adultery messes, and all kinds of messes. God is showing up to do something. God loves to draw people to himself. After this, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. The rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came. You know what that can translate? All those who heard about hope went to where they could find the hope. People are always looking for hope. Now, I will tell you, people are looking for hope in a lot of wrong places. The bar gives no hope. The strip joint gives no hope. You know what they both do? They take your money. You give it away, but they take your money. Everything you worked for all week. So many people broke on Monday because they partied it up on Friday and Saturday. Because that's what the devil does. He comes to steal everything you've got. He comes to kill and destroy your whole life. These people heard of a healing. This is what happens in our programs. Carla gets letters and calls. The office gets calls when one of the other staff members are there from people that I heard about this ministry. Carl gets a call and so there's community corrections or somebody. Hey, do you have a place? Because why? Or someone writes a letter. Or her mom calls or her dad calls. I heard that there's a place. There's a place that can help. Now, the biggest win of our programs is always this, that a person's life does change. But the biggest win for us is that someone would come to Christ. If they have a relationship with Christ, that they would restore that relationship and maybe rededicate their life to Christ. Along with educational things of, you know, addiction classes and budgeting classes and goal setting classes and all kinds of encouragement classes and church worship. And so many have left because they're like, I'm not going to church. Okay. So what do? They go out and they say, oh, that place over there, that's a faith base. They want to talk about Jesus. But you know what? Some people out there are so desperate, they don't care. They say, I need a place. I need a place. Now, I would tell you, what would it look like if we were not hospitable? What would it look like if we didn't love on those that we didn't know? We don't know them. They land on our island. They come in. And we are to be like these people. We are to give hospitality. We don't entertain so much. But hospitality. Offer a bed, food, supplies. If someone comes in and doesn't want our program, but they need some other things, we have partners in the community that we help with. We're partnering with Loving. Listen, you need this. We'll send you over there because I know that is that the leader over there is a godly woman, and she works with that. So the rest of those who had diseases, they came because they heard the hope, and they were cured. Because I believe this, God loves healing people. God loves healing people. I always say it, He loves you right where you're at, but He loves you enough not to leave you there. Because He's got something in store for you, you just don't know it yet. You can't see it because you can't see it because you got this mess going on. And God wants to work in your life. God wanted to work in these people's life. You know today that Malta is over 90%. Now, they are Catholic, but they're 90%, over 90%. They believe in Jesus Christ today. What these guys did back in there, you'll go back also to Crete. You'll go into Crete. You'll see that, you know, the book of Titus. You'll see that 80-some percent of them are believers in Jesus Christ. What these guys planted, so don't think what you plant today doesn't grow. Now, the old church buildings and stuff, they collapse. But the church is not a building. It's the people. So the message kept being shared. And then what's so crazy is this. Now, they heaped many honors on us. And when we sailed, they gave us what we needed. Another ship comes in, all that comes in, and they go away. They were there for a while. You give Paul 3 months with a group of people, and they're going to hear Jesus. When you get around someone for a couple of months, how long does it take for you to share Jesus? But what I'm amazed is these people, they don't stop giving. And it says they gave us what we needed. Do you remember when they were in the storm, they lost everything they thought they needed. But now they are given everything they need to finish out the voyage. Sometimes our healing is a part of one place for a moment. And then we go somewhere else and we do something else. But they gave us what we needed. I wish the Christian families today would open up the doors of their front door of their homes and welcome the world in. Be an influence in the world. I'm going to say this. I hope I say it in love. We need to stop jumping on one bandwagon against another bandwagon. It's us against them and them against us. It's not me against the world. It's not me against lost people. No. We can't do that. If we have a battle, we have division between us and the lost people. Listen, I'm praying for Russia just as I am Ukraine. I have a friend who spent 10 years in Russia, and he has good, godly Christian friends in Russia still today. Do you not think that there are Christians in Russia? Do we like the war? No, we do not. But I want to tell you this. We got to get off the bandwagon of division. You don't win people to Jesus with division. You win through love and mercy, kindness and compassion, and sharing the gospel. But if you don't share, you can't share the gospel with hate and anger at the world. The world acts like it does because the world is sinful. Let's quit trying to make sinful good. Accept people for who they are, but share the gospel. Love on them. Put your arms around them. They have sin in their life. They are lost, but you don't have to look too far to find someone else who's got sin when you go in there in the bathroom and brush your hair and brush your teeth. I am thankful for the Acts chapter 28. I'm not going to get caught up in all the political things. I look in the Gospels and I see Jesus walking around in this time of things were just so ugly. But also I read not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but also read the book of Acts. Didn't jump in all the political parts because it wasn't about the political parts, even though they had to live in those political movements and moments. I was humbled. I'm going to close with, I was humbled Wednesday when I preached on Nebuchadnezzar. As I was studying through Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 4, 3 and 4, on knowing that the Jews were taken captive, I couldn't help but to see how much respect Daniel gave to King Nebuchadnezzar. And I listened to us as believers on how much we put down our political leaders. And I sit there and I kept reading Daniel. Yes, Your Honor. May that not happen to you about a dream. May that not truly happen to you. Daniel's heart was flooded out for a man that was a ruler over him that was not a believer at the time. Believed some things, but not a believer at the time. We got to be careful with how we live our life with God. I think some of the things that God's going to look at us on are some of the things that we think He's not going to. How'd you treat your enemies? We see the people of Malta treated. They not have been enemies, but you see 276 people coming ashore. You might think that there might be an invasion. But there was something different about this look. They weren't coming on warships. They were coming on their bellies and splashing and half drowning. And they opened up their whole island. And said, come in. And let me remind you this. You cannot outgive God. Paul was on that ship. And God used Paul to heal so many people on that island that were sick. Who knows how many people were truly sick on that island and maybe not had any doctors at all, just witch doctors and those things. What a miracle that happened on that island because they opened the door for people. Usually in Scripture, you're seeing in the Old Testament, you see these people, Assyrians, battling these people, and everybody's about killing people, killing and killing and killing. Killing and killing and killing. And here we see arms open wide. Hospitality. Entertainment. Giving them what they need. It's a true example of what Christians should be. Yet these were unbelievers. I pray that our heart becomes what Christ wants it to be. People that share the compassion of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, but not just words and action, but also in material things. That's why this church is not just a church. It's not a church because we want it to be more than whatever it may be, whatever we wanted it to be, but God wanted it to be a hospital where people can come and our arms would be open, whether they were sick, addiction, homosexual, lesbian, transgenders, we've had all here. Now we have some defining lines. We will speak in truth that things are wrong and sinful. But with grace, we're going to love. And we're going to embrace, and we're going to, as they come off and they land on the shores of this church, we're going to open our arms. We're going to take them as they are. And we're going to worship together. And I've seen people not know what to do. I've had a couple of people in the church, I don't know what to do. Listen to this. I've never been to church before. Folks, there are still people that have never been to church before. And if they come in and they see just hammering. Now, I can get excited a few times, and Phil Marlowe can get excited a few times. We can get a little excited, but I mean hammering and degrading people. I will tell you today that homosexuality is a sin before God. But so is gossiping. So is stealing. So is gluttony. Today we're picking one or two sins and we're slamming people. Listen, sin is a sin. And yeah, there are sins and there are iniquities. There is a lifestyle of sin, and that's dangerous. But God can heal that too, and that's our ultimate goal, to share the gospel. That people would turn from their sins and come to Christ. And then that homosexual or that drug addict or that alcoholic can turn around and talk to the next one that comes through the doors and says, listen, I know what you've been through. And I can tell you that God can do a work. It was called the Island of Malta. This is called New Life Fellowship, New Life Ministries. Father, as we get ready to close this part of our service and open up our time of response, I pray that your Holy Spirit has moved upon us in a way that only you can. And I pray, Lord, in these next few moments that your will may be done on each person's heart and in their life. In Christ's name, who makes life worth living. Amen.